Well, that's Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders back in 1965 from the British Invasion, talking about the game of love and a man and a woman and their purposes, a language which we might have accepted as perfectly ordinary back in the past, but has now become controversial, and that's introducing us here to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday, a weekly blog talk radio show with your show host, Andrew Herod, where we like to discuss important issues of the day for conservatives and others. And today we want to be talking about this gender ideology, radical gender ideology, transgenderism, with Chris Elston, otherwise known as Billboard Chris, a Vancouver, Canada activist who's taken on such radical gender ideology in schools and elsewhere. Well, Chris, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I'm excited to be here. I love your intro. It got me in a good mood.
Well, what's your background in Canada? How did you get involved in this whole issue and become Billboard Chris?
Yeah, not the traditional career arc. I used to actually be a financial advisor of all things, and I decided to ditch that and strap on some signs and go out on the street and have conversations with people about the harm coming to kids. Because I have two girls. They are now 10 and 12 years old. They were 8 and 10 when I started this. And I think in 2019, I started learning about all this craziness going on, specifically the medical abuse of giving children experimental puberty-blocking drugs, opposite-sex hormones, hormones that do not belong in their bodies, even doing surgeries on minors, as we've seen in the United States. Girls as young as 12 years old have had their breasts cut off for the gender god. And we simply have to put a stop to this because it's seeing hundreds of thousands of kids who are caught up in a cult. And as a dad of girls, and it's a movement that's primarily affecting girls, I just couldn't stay quiet. So I've made this my mission in life to do what I can to create awareness.
Oh, interesting. So did you then become personally aware of this from materials in your own, in the schools of your own children in the Vancouver area?
No, I first became aware of this through Twitter, of all places. That's, you know, the world stage now for speaking about all these things if you can manage to not get suspended. And I just started doing my research. And, you know, I did learn about what's going on in schools once I started doing all this research. And I've talked to hundreds of parents now, and I've talked to thousands of people across North America because I now travel in North America, having conversations about this on the street, doing media, doing public. I just became aware of this term puberty blockers, and I said, what the heck is that? And so I did my research, and it turns out these drugs are exactly what they sound like. We're giving drugs to kids which stop their bodies going into puberty. At the very earliest stages of puberty, it's called Tanner Stage 2, so this is even before a girl's had her period. We will give these kids this drug, which has never been approved. It's a drug that was approved to treat prostate cancer, endometriosis in women, uterine fibroids in women, and also it's the same drug that's been given to pedophiles to chemically castrate them, because that's what it does. But we're giving this to kids because it also happens to stop their bodies going into puberty, because it stops the pituitary gland from releasing a couple of hormones, which in turn trigger estrogen to be released in girls and testosterone in boys. And this is what kicks off puberty. But while they're on this drug, that won't happen. The girl's breasts won't grow, their hips won't get wider, boys' penises don't grow, girls' hips don't expand. This is causing them to lose bone density and even suffer spinal fractures. A young girl in Sweden just suffered spinal fractures, and she has early-stage osteoporosis and is in chronic pain because of this drug. The FDA just released a warning last week stating that this drug is causing brain swelling and even permanent vision loss in children. There's all sorts of side effects just from this. We're sending teenage girls into menopause, and that's just the first step, because then these kids get given the opposite sex's hormones. So it's testosterone for girls, estrogen for boys. And this causes all sorts of damage too, even worse. We're sterilizing kids, causes vaginal and uterine atrophy in these girls. They're having to get their uterus removed after about 4 or 5 years on testosterone. For all the boys that start on puberty blockers at this early stage of puberty, the president of the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, Marcy Bowers, who is a trans woman or a man, has even admitted that all of these boys, when they've grown up, none of them have had any sexual function. They've never been able to have an orgasm. So these are just some of the problems going on. We do have some countries pushing back against this, like Sweden and Finland, that they've stopped the practice. England is on its way. But here in North America, it's full steam ahead, and there's probably no country in the world worse than Canada. So this is just a massive child abuse scandal, and I'm a dad, and that's my primary job in life, as any parent knows. And so I put on my dad hat, and I'm out there trying to create awareness.
That's interesting. Yeah, so even, you know, Sweden and Finland that are often hailed as, you know, great progressive countries, they've put a stop to this. So this is really a bridge too far for even them. You mentioned England as well. They, as you know, the recent news is they've closed down this gender clinic operation there. So did you just start out wearing these sandwich boards? Going around on the streets of Vancouver and other cities and just simply public activists simply raising awareness with people?
Well, looking silly like a sandwich board guy, Billboard Chris, my nickname, that wasn't my first thing in mind. The first thing I did actually was I responded to some censorship. A woman in England, her name is Posey Parker or Kelly J. Keene. She put up a sign at the Edinburgh train station in July of 2020 that said, "I love J.K. Rowling. I heart J.K. Rowling." And it lasted one day because some people on Twitter, of course, complained that it was hate speech, and so the government-run train authority took it down. She put up that sign, of course, because J.K. Rowling has been very outspoken in defending women's sex-based rights and also in speaking out against this child abuse medical scandal. And I'd been learning about this all year and a bit the year before, and I happened to be reading Harry Potter at the time with my little one. And it just ticked me off. There's so many things about this leftist creep into society today that's very alarming. And this is the craziest issue of them all. But we should be able to have conversations, and we should be able to talk about these issues, and we should be allowed to put up a sign that says, "I love J.K. Rowling, the world's greatest children's author." I mean, it's totally insane that that's called hate speech. So I said, "Not going to happen. Let's do something here." And so I put up a big billboard in Vancouver that said the exact same thing. "I love J.K. Rowling." It got bombed with paint overnight. And then a Vancouver city councilor named Sarah Kirby-Young, the next day, she said it was hate speech. And she pressured the sign company, Jimmy Pattison, the billionaire, his company. He's not involved anymore, but disappointing because he's like supposedly this Christian philanthropist, but it's his company that took the sign down after one day. And so there was a ton of outrage. It made news all over the world. I leveraged all that outrage into a little fundraising campaign, and I put up billboards in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, Utah, Washington, D.C., and Times Square. And that was all through September of 2020. But then because I couldn't even put a sign up in Canada, and none of our media will cover this, there was literally nothing else I could do except go old school and try to reach people one at a time. And so I set out on this mission to do exactly that, having one conversation at a time with people. So I had these signs made, which I wear, and I don't do anything. I just stand there. I go to busy places downtown, kind of stand near the train station, right center downtown. There's always tons of people. And I just stand there, and people come up to me and go, "What the heck are puberty blockers?" Because the signs I wear say, "Children cannot consent to puberty blockers." I've got my definition of a dad, which is a human male who protects his kids from gender ideology. I've got gender ideologies is not belong in schools. So I used to have a sign that said, "I love J.K. Rowling," of course, because I wasn't going to let their censorship win. And, yeah, I just kept going out there day after day, hour after hour, standing there in the cold winters, having conversations with people, knowing that this would build into something. And here I am on the Andrew Harrod Show. Works.
Yeah. Well, so I saw online at your website, Billboard Chris, that you indeed, I was wondering that there was this international campaign, so you were able to get these other "I love J.K. Rowling," "I heart J.K. Rowling" signs put up in America and in Times Square and so forth, but only the one in Vancouver, and then of course the initial one put up in Edinburgh, Scotland, got taken down. Were the others allowed to stay up?
Yeah, the others were all allowed to stay up. There was probably about 40 in total, including screens in the Washington, D.C. underground, in the metro there. But freedom of speech is stronger in the United States than it is here in Canada, that's for sure. I get way more abuse out on the streets in Canada as well. I've been to many places in the U.S. now. I've been all over Canada. I've been attacked physically numerous times. I've probably been technically assaulted more than 20 times. I've had my arm broken. by Antifa in Montreal. I've been arrested twice after getting assaulted because it's easier for police just to get rid of me than it is to deal with all the violent people. But I don't care, because anytime that crazy stuff happens, I just use it to my advantage. I use it to expose these cretins. And all they're really doing at the end of the day is helping my campaign. So I'm just going to keep going out there. I do all my trips now into the United States of America, pretty much, my big trip. I get more support down there. And I've teamed up with a fabulous organization called Moms for Liberty, which was started by two moms, two regular moms, just like I'm a regular dad. They started this organization January of 2021, so it's only a year and a half old. And they're pushing back against what's going on in schools, all this woke ideology, all that stuff, the masking of our kids, everything. But in 1.5 years, they have grown from two superpowered moms to 100,000 moms all over the country in 40 different states. So I'm going to individual chapter meetings to help educate these moms and dads, because it's not just moms, it's also dads in there. And they can get up to speed, get educated, get informed, and become empowered to go to their school boards and raise heck, because we cannot let these ideologies continue to damage our children. We're lying to our kids. We're telling them that there's something wrong with them, that they might be born in the wrong body just because they don't conform to stereotypes.
Well, you talk about free speech. Now, in the case of your sign in Vancouver, so that was just kind of like a public pressure that caused the company owner, you say it was a Christian philanthropist, a billionaire or such. Would people, say, prosecute you for hate speech for putting up such a sign like that in Vancouver or any other message?
No, I mean, of course it's not hate speech. It has a heart on it. How can it be hate speech? It says, I love J.K. Rowling. So it's just ridiculous leftist nonsense saying it's hate speech. These radical leftists try to call J.K. Rowling a transphobe just because she thinks, men shouldn't go into women's prisons and rapists shouldn't go into women's rape shelters and that we shouldn't be sterilizing kids. It's totally crazy. This is love speech, not hate speech. And I know what my rights are. Just the other day, police were threatening to arrest me again. It's happened a couple times the last couple weeks because I went to a couple different pride events and stood near their pride festivals to have conversations. And I know what my rights are. So quite honestly, I would love the police to arrest me more because it just generates a lot of media and would help my cause. But they've already tried it before. They charged me with causing a disturbance just for simply being present quietly in a public space outside the Vancouver Art Gallery in Vancouver, where we have this big public square. And they banned me from walking on all these streets in the center of downtown Vancouver for 6 months until our Crown Council threw out the charge. But, yeah, we live in this dystopian world where everything's upside down. And parents don't know what's going on because the media won't report on it. Parents have no idea how this ideology has crept into our schools. They don't know what our kids are being taught. So I'm out there helping to educate them so they can protect their own kids.
Well, you say that, you were arrested in Montreal and you've had these prohibitions put on you in places like Vancouver. So the police are then going after you and saying that, just your mere speech is like a public disturbance. And have
That's
to
right.
stop. I mean, we've had actually, even in the United States, we've had cases, about some 18 years ago or so, there's this case called the Philadelphia 11. I'm trying to remember the time, but it was in Philadelphia at a, pride event there, a gay pride event. 11 people went out and protested. They held up like signs about, condemnation of homosexuality or whatever, and the police arrested them and threw them in jail for a night just for simply holding up these signs. Eventually they were released, but initially they were actually charged under our RICO statute, as it's called, the Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations Act, which was originally designed to go after the mafia. So they were charged with like a conspiracy to disturb the peace just simply because they got out on a sidewalk, public sidewalk, and were holding up signs sort of counter-protesting a pride event. So you've had a lot of that where people say, well, your speech is really a disturbance of the peace.
Well, so, I don't really want to compare it to what they did. These are two totally different things. So first of all, I just want to say, you know, a lot of my biggest supporters are from the gay and lesbian community, because a lot of these kids now, and we haven't gotten into this too much, but these kids who are coming to believe that they are the opposite sex or the opposite gender. Gender is this weird word that no one can really define. Basically means personality or temperament. It's just a stereotype afforded to each biological sex. But a lot of these kids historically that struggled with this condition called gender dysphoria, which is this intense loathing of their biological sex that starts from a young age, by definition, a lot of these kids grew up to be gay. If we look at all the academic studies that have been done going back decades, 80 to 90% of the time, these children with gender dysphoria, where they're really struggling, and it does exist, and we need to help these kids, of course, but 80 to 90% of the time, the way we help them is just letting them grow up, because when they go through puberty, it just goes away almost every time. And the majority of these kids, historically, when this used to affect one out of tens of thousands, not one out of ten, a lot of these kids grew up to be gay. If we look at the most recent study, 64% of these kids with gender dysphoria grew up to be gay. Today, they won't get that opportunity to grow up to be a healthy gay male because they'll have their puberty blocked, and they'll end up permanently harmed for life with a micropenis that they then will cut off and invert to make a neo-vagina that has all sorts of complications, where they'll even cut out a piece of the kid's stomach or colon in order to form the interior wall of this, essentially what is a wound. We're just talking about epic child abuse affecting gender non-conforming children. We're talking about child abuse affecting children with autism. If you look at the Tavistock, which is the one gender clinic that all these kids were sent to in England, out of a sample size of more than 1,000 children, 35% of them who identified as trans, 35% had moderate to severe autism. That number goes above 50% if you include the mild cases. All of these kids that end up getting medicalized are struggling with something. They all have some comorbidity. They have autism. They have depression, anxiety. A lot of them have suffered abuse or trauma. Sexual abuse is quite common. And what we've seen is an absolute explosion in the number of girls now presenting as boys. In the Tavistock in England, in the last decade, the number of girls identifying as boys went up 4,000%. 40 times. This is a social contagion. It's hitting all these girls, especially when they get into middle school. Talk to any mom around the United States of middle schoolers. They'll know other girls who are now going through this. It's popular. They get rewarded. They get love bombed when they come out as trans. So you have these kids who aren't fitting in, who hate their bodies, whatever's going on, feel like misfits. They find this home, and they're getting recruited as well. They have these gay-straight alliance or queer-straight alliance clubs. They call them at school. Again, nothing, none of this is about homosexuality. This is about gender identity, two totally different things. But the left tries to conflate these as one thing because they know that most people don't understand this right away, and that's how they buy acceptance. But none of this is about homosexuality. This is about something totally different called gender identity, and our kids are being taught that they have a gender identity that may not coincide with their biological sex. And when you look at the most popular resource that's used, it's called the genderbread person. It teaches these kids that their gender identity is based on their personality, their likes and dislikes, their jobs, hobbies, roles in society, and their expectations. These are all sexist regressive stereotypes. So if a girl wants to be an engineer when she grows up, does that put her on the boy end of the spectrum? If she wants to have short hair and climb trees and throw around the football and play in the dirt and hates wearing dresses, does that somehow mean she's a boy? That's what these kids are being taught. So that's what we have to put a stop to, because my whole message is one of absolute body positivity. I'm out there saying there's no right way to be a boy or a girl. If a girl's more masculine, if a boy's more feminine, whatever, fine. We don't need to sterilize kids just because they're gender nonconforming.
Yeah, I guess that's one question others have raised. You know, isn't this whole idea of transgenderism, I mean, isn't it really just a form of burlesque? That is, you know, in burlesque, you have a sort of an exaggeration of certain features of a certain group or person. You're talking precisely about gender stereotypes, you know, in a burlesque, you really emphasize, you know, sort of traditionally feminine qualities, say, and so therefore it's somewhat sort of akin to blackface and, you know, blacks. I mean, real blacks don't have, like, say, exaggerated lips, they see in blackface, or, you know, their skin tone is not, you know, people from Africa, their skin tone is not necessarily, you know, uniformly black, like shoe polish or whatever. And, of course, all the, you know, the sort of stereotypes that were portrayed in sort of typical Jim Crow presentations of kind of blacks as lazy or something. I mean, isn't this kind of like a kind of a parallel to that blackface? It's a burlesque that really warps and distorts certain aspects of male and female.
Yeah, I mean, there's several different aspects to this under this giant trans umbrella. But certainly, you know, we all acknowledge today that it's completely and utterly disgusting and racist to wear blackface, even though Justin Trudeau has done it on several occasions. But it's somehow okay to wear a woman's face? You have these middle-aged men with this condition called autogynephilia, which is a sexual fetish where they get aroused by the idea of being a woman. And so you get these middle-aged men who decide, presto, that they are suddenly women, and they're going to just march into any old women's space they like. In Washington State last week, or just yesterday, I think this happened last month, but the story was reported yesterday, an 80-year-old woman, a grandma, who's been going to the YMCA for 40 years, was in the women's washroom, and she heard a man's voice. And there was a man in there who, of course, identifies as a woman, with a bunch of little girls from some camp helping them change. So she, of course, got outraged, made a scene, like she should, because she's a hero. She got kicked out and banned from the YMCA. An 80-year-old grandma just got banned from the YMCA because she objected to a man watching little girls change and helping them in and out of their bathing suits. This is the state of the world that we're in today. So there's that going on. There's the sexualization of children going on. We need to put a stop to that too. And then there's this gender identity indoctrination. There's a whole lot of stuff going on here. So what we need are more governors like Ron DeSantis, who introduced these bills that the left dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill. That's completely inaccurate. The bill is actually called Parental Rights and Education. We might as well call the bill Don't Say Straight, because that's just as accurate as calling it Don't Say Gay. It's got nothing to do with that. The bill merely stops them from teaching sex ed and gender identity or trans indoctrination to kids from kindergarten to grade 3. We don't need our kids getting sexualized when they're 6 years old. We need them to learn how to read, write, and do math. This is common sense stuff that everyone knew was normal back in the 90s, but somehow it's controversial today. But we just need some people to stand up and say enough, because this queer theory that's coming out of universities has permeated our entire culture, and gender ideology has essentially become the de facto religion of our government, corporations, and schools.
Yeah, indeed. Many people are noting on Twitter and elsewhere, you know, you see these images from this recent Pride Month in June where, you know, you just have, like, in London and other places, you have streets just fully decked out with all the rainbow flags and, you know, really has this totalitarian image. It looks like something in, you know, like the Soviet Union or something, just the uniformity of images and of propaganda. And as you indicate, it is sort of like the new state religion or the new state belief system, the ideology. People in places like the United States or Canada say they might complain about, like, you know, don't have a cross or whatever in this public institution, but, you know, having this ideology is just fine. Do you think it's this whole movement of it also, you mentioned your men going into spaces. I guess that brings up, I remember George Washington University Law School, when I was there, about a decade ago, we had precisely one of these transgender individuals. There's a guy here in the United States who testified before Congress. He was a colonel in the United States Army, gone through special forces and so forth, and had a 20-year career. And then after that, he decided, you know, he was really, as the same goes, you know, a woman trapped inside a man's body, and, you know, he went through the whole transition and so forth. And at this presentation there at law school, he indeed described himself as what is called a transgendered lesbianism, which is indeed what you're describing, a man who's actually sexually who's sexually attracted to other women, but he has this sort of bizarre desire that he wants to become the woman to whom he's sexually attracted. He wants to have sex with a woman, you know, as a woman. So, and that raises very disturbing questions that you have such individuals now precisely saying, I identify as a woman, so they're going to go into, like, locker rooms and so forth. I mean, that just seems really nuts.
Yeah, here in Vancouver, British Columbia, again, our city council, the same city council that made a fuss about my I Love J.K. Rowling billboard, they defunded a rape shelter in Vancouver for the crime of not allowing men inside. Totally nuts. We have rapists going into women's prisons. I can blow your mind all day long. I don't know how much time we have. We have this man who, I don't even want to get into it because it's too brutal, but I'm not even going to get into it on the air, but we have this brutal man who killed a couple kids. I'm not going to get into all the scenarios. Who was then given breast implants, paid for by the provincial government, and sent into our women's prison, where, of course, he's already assaulted a woman. It's totally insane. We passed a law called Bill C-16 in Canada. This was back in 2017, this bill passed. And it's our self-identification law. So all sorts of states and countries are passing these same laws. And it just says basically that we don't want to discriminate against someone on the basis of their gender identity. And all these numbskull politicians say, yeah, that sounds great. Let's not discriminate. Discrimination is bad. Well, wait a minute. What does that actually mean? It means we end up sending rapists into women's prisons and into rape shelters. It means we get these creeps like this guy down in Washington State going into the girls' locker room. It means any man can just say he's a woman, and now he can play women's sports, like we're seeing with Leah Thomas taking the gold medals from all these women in the swimming pool, like these track athletes taking gold and silver continually in the state of Connecticut from all these women. He just can't possibly compete no matter how hard they train because these guys are a foot taller, and they're men. Of course they're going to be faster. So the world's gone insane, and the most insane thing of all is that we're trying to change the sex of children. Because whether you believe in creation or you believe in evolution, if you believe in creation, well, you're saying that God created us wrong by trying to change the sex of a child. And if you believe in evolution, well, we are these very beautiful, magnificent, complex organisms that evolved over billions of years. We have billions of processes going on in our bodies every day. We have all sorts of things going on in our bodies that we don't even understand. Everything's interrelated. And now, for the first time in human history, in this little 10-year blip, we're going to say that a pharmaceutical company knows better, and a pharmaceutical company is going to help our children be who they really are by maiming and sterilizing them. We're going to do surgeries and give these kids experimental drugs that have never been approved, and we expect this to somehow make these kids happier. This is totally insane. And it's not a fringe issue anymore, affecting 1 out of 10,000 of children with gender dysphoria. You get 1 out of 10 in some of these high schools. In Pittsburgh, they did a survey of all the high schools. 10% of the children said they were transgender or non-binary. Not all of those kids are going to medically transition, but the ones who are struggling, the foster kids, the autistic kids, the kids who are going to grow up to be gay, the kids who aren't fitting in, the kids who hate their bodies, the kids who've had trauma, these are the ones who end up at these gender clinics because they've been indoctrinated online or in school to believe that they're born in the wrong body, like you said earlier. What does that mean, Andrew, to be born in the wrong body? No one can ever answer that question because it's meaningless. No one can tell you what it means for a girl to be a boy. None of these people can tell you what a woman is. I don't know if you've seen Matt Walsh's film, What is a Woman? This is required viewing for all of your listeners. Go check it out. You'll learn very quickly that all of the experts that run these gender and sexuality departments in these universities know absolutely nothing. This entire thing is just a cult. They can't even define what a woman is. To these people, it is just a feeling. But what does it mean to feel like a woman? I don't know. How could I possibly know? I'm a man. Is a woman a feeling? Of course not. Every woman feels different themselves. We all have different personalities and temperaments. So anyway, the whole thing's nuts. Here's what it comes down to. There are two sexes. There are zero genders. And there are infinite personalities. And we just need to get back to that. Because that's the truth. And there's no right way to be boy or girl. And we just need to leave these kids alone and let them grow up.
When you talk about, you know, this whole LGBT movement, as has now come to be called, is there then really a breakdown, a growing divide between gays and lesbians on the one hand, and this whole, you know, key part of the movement, transgender? You're indicating, you know, that a lot of these people are just simply, you know, gay individuals who feel gay, and you know, it's the whole idea of transitioning them is really just wrecking their lives. So, is there coming to a breakdown in this movement that even lesbian and gay individuals say this is just totally nuts?
Absolutely. A lot of my biggest supporters from the gay and lesbian community. That's why I go to these pride parades, because we need to be allowed to have these conversations. Because these aren't just celebrations of who you love anymore. These are now celebrations of child sterilization. These are celebrations of all sorts of weird kinks. And they've gotten completely out of hand. But I'm just out there to have conversations about this child abuse. But anyway, yes, a lot of the gay community does support my message. They're out there screaming this as well. But then a lot of the gay community also is very much against what I'm saying. There's a split. The people who understand what's going on are all supportive. But a lot of the gay community, they sort of project their own issues onto these kids. Because for a lot of gay people, when they grew up, they had a tough time. They didn't feel accepted. And so I get it. And they are seeing this with these kids who identify as trans as well. These kids aren't feeling accepted. And so that's kind of the depth of their thinking. But they need to get more informed about what's actually going on, because experimental drugs and surgeries are not the answers here. So, yeah, we need to separate the T from the LGB. I never use that together, because there is no such thing as an LGBT community. There's LGB, sexual attraction, and then there's the TQ+. That's all something totally different. But the trans activists love to combine it all together, because then they get the good faith that the gay rights movement won, and people who don't know enough about this issue just sort of lump it all together, and they can ride on those coattails. But yeah, we do need to separate the T from the LGBT.
Well, I guess that raises a sort of a fundamental philosophical question. I mean, you know, you've talked about how this whole idea of gender dysphoria, transgenderism, you know, it's really just kind of a feeling. It just can't. But the ultimate facts of sex remain. I mean, male and female remain, and you know, you just can't do away with facts because of your feelings. Is there also an issue that with the you know, lesbians and gays? I mean, their feelings of sexual attraction, that, you know, yes, they have those feelings, but those feelings can all similarly not justify, say, redefining the institution of marriage for same sex. Or are you talking about Ron DeSantis in Florida, that, you know, these feelings, these sexual attractions, they really are mature issues, and so we really should not indoctrinate kids with this behavior. I mean, this is something that, you know, mature consenting adults should deal with. So is there sort of a fundamental breakdown that the whole T movement, the whole transgendered movement, is just sort of showing the fundamental absurdity of also lesbian and gay agendas as well?
No, my issue is not about the gay rights movement at all. I have tons of gay friends, and I make more all the time. So this isn't really about that whatsoever. This is strictly about the child abuse, the biggest medical scandal we've seen in our lifetimes affecting kids. And yeah, you know, a ton of gay people will agree also, we shouldn't be sexualizing these kids so early. I don't refer to kids as gay or trans ever. I mean, really, there's no such thing as being trans. Transition is an action. Transition is something you do. It's not something you are. We should always talk about this in terms of gender dysphoria. But what's going on today isn't even real gender dysphoria for most of these kids. but gender dysphoria does exist, and it's something we need to help these children with. And for some adults, if they've had this prolonged distress and it's not going away, well, historically, some adults transitioned in order to cosmetically appear more like the opposite sex, and hopefully that made them happier. I don't think there's really any much evidence for that. We have the best study we have shows that 7 to 10 years after transition, suicide rates are 19 times higher than their peers. But anyway, my issue isn't what's going on with adults. It's all about the kids. And we need to just stop sexualizing these kids. We should just leave a lot of that to parents to talk about. Of course, you do have to have sex education at some point in school. Kids need to understand how that works, because not everyone's home life is going to be great. Not all their parents are going to teach them about it. But what's going on today is just totally mental.
Well, that raises an issue. You know, we're talking about transgenderism with adults. You know, we've of course had these controversies. I mean, you mentioned Leah Thomas, you know, this guy at the University of Pennsylvania who identifies as a woman and now competing in women's athletics, winning all these swimming awards. And there, you know, women have complained that as you've indicated in other contexts, you know, he goes around with his male genitals in the locker room with all these other naked women, and they're, you know, they're not particularly happy about having their privacy invaded like that. If we're going against this ideology, is it appropriate for us to say, with, you know, Rachel Levine, this new Surgeon General in the Biden administration who identifies as a woman, you know, should we call that person a woman? Should we use, you know, female pronouns to talk about Rachel Levine, this man who, you know, I believe fathered, I think as well, two daughters, then, you know, divorced and you know, has now identified as a woman? I mean, talking about Twitter and so forth and free speech, you know, I myself have been suspended from Twitter briefly because I tweeted out about how Rachel Levine is a man, precisely in the aftermath after the Babylon Bee did their satire where they nominated Rachel Levine as their man of the year after USA Today had, you know, listed Rachel Levine among their Women of the Year awards. I mean, doesn't standing up to this craziness mean that we have to reject it everywhere and that we cannot, any sort of, with respect to any sort of individual like Rachel Levine or Leah Thomas, who would indeed have a role model kind of influence of society, that we just can't, you know, go along with their insanity?
Yeah, you won't find me calling Rachel Levine a woman ever, and I will not be respecting Rachel Levine's pronouns ever. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to tell the truth. And if people get their feelings hurt, oh well. But Rachel Levine is a giant hypocrite. Rachel Levine fathered a family. Rachel Levine didn't go on puberty blockers. Rachel Levine didn't go on estrogen as a child. Rachel Levine didn't suffer all of these unknown side effects and sterilization and anorgasmia that all these children are suffering. Rachel Levine waited until mid-age to dramatize his fetish. And he's out there now saying that gender-affirming care, which is the euphemism they give for sterilizing and mutilating children, he's out there saying that this is proven to help these children. It's a lie. He's out there lying and saying that if we don't harm these children, that they will kill themselves. It's another lie. There's really only two things the left can ever say about any of this. They say that if we don't transition kids, that they'll commit suicide, which is totally false. There's no evidence to support it. And we have even transgender activists or people who started the first transgender clinics in America. For example, Laura Edwards Leeper started the first transgender clinic in Boston 15 years ago. She's admitted in an op-ed in the Washington Post a few months ago that, as far as she knows, there's no epidemic of suicides going on. You can go to a website called statsforgender.org. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's probably the best website out there for all sorts of things. But just go into the search bar, enter suicide, and you'll see all sorts of studies. You'll find a bunch on my website as well, billboardfist.com. It is true. And when I talk to people on the street and they come at me with this hostility and they say, oh, kids are going to kill themselves because of you, I'll say, look, it is true that suicidal ideation is higher among these kids who are struggling. It's higher among kids with anorexia. It's even higher than what it is for this. It's higher with kids with autism. It's higher for kids with personality disorders. It's higher for kids with trauma and abuse. And we need to help these children. But you don't help a child by simply affirming a delusion and then giving them experiments of drugs and hormones. The practice now for these kids when they go into these gender clinics is they go see this endocrinologist with 12 years of post-secondary education, this high-paid specialist. The child self-diagnoses themselves, and these ideological doctors just go along with the kid, and they say, "That's wonderful, Susie. We're so glad you found your true self. You're an excellent candidate for puberty blockers." And oftentimes on their very first appointment, if you can believe it, again, everything I'm saying I can prove many times over, and I do it all the time on Twitter, at Billboard Chris on Twitter, where I do all my campaigning. On the first appointment, these kids are given puberty blockers across sex hormones. These people know nothing about these children. They know nothing about their backgrounds. They've done no mental health assessments. And this is affecting so many children now across the U.S. that even if you had every single psychologist in the country doing proper mental health assessments on these kids, there wouldn't be enough in the profession to do it. Because this has just taken over the entire country. We have hundreds of thousands of kids now identifying as trans. We have 42,000 girls and young women on GoFundMe right now, 42,000 raising money to get their breasts cut off for gender purposes. Those are just the ones needing to raise money. For a lot of kids, this is covered by insurance. In Washington State this year, they passed a law. This is to show how crazy this has gotten. They passed a law that any 13-year-old can go get puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, even surgeries with double mastectomies, again, at 13 years old, using their parents' insurance without their parents' knowledge. And the parent will get the bill with the drug or procedure redacted. They'll get the copay bill. So it's just completely out of control. California, Scott Wiener, living up to his name, is passing a bill right now, SB 107, Senate Bill 107. They're pushing through this bill to make California a sanctuary state, so that any child from all over the country can come to California to get these experimental and harmful drugs, hormones, and surgeries. A runaway. A kid can run away from Texas, 13 years old, go to California. They will not return the child home. A non-custodial parent can bring the child to California, and California will ignore arrest warrants. They will ignore subpoenas. They will ignore court orders, so that they can harm this child in the name of gender identity. We are fighting evil, is what we're doing. This is the biggest child abuse scandal in history, no doubt. So you asked me when we started this podcast why I got involved. This is why I got involved. Because when you learn this much, and I learn more all the time, and I never present myself as an expert, but honestly, there's not that much to this. It's boys and girls, and we shouldn't be harming them. But when you learn this much, for me, it would have been a sin to stay quiet and to do nothing. And I wasn't going to look back at my life in 40 years and say, yeah, I knew about this huge scandal, and I just watched it happen. Because as a dad, my purpose on this life is to raise my children, take care of my kids, and send them off into the world as well-adjusted young adults. But I'm not comfortable sending my girls into a world that doesn't even know what a woman is anymore, and that's doing all this crazy stuff. So forget about making money and trying to get a house in the pool. I'm just going to do this until all the countries around the world have stopped this insane practice.
Yeah, well, you mentioned money. What do you think the role is of money in this ideology? Breitbart News recently came out a couple of months ago with a story talking about how many of these, pride parades around the country, they're funded by medical systems, hospitals in places like even Nashville, Tennessee, that are indeed running these gender clinics and offering these whole gender transition programs, drugs and surgery and so forth. I mean, do you think there's really, a big big money push for this, a real self-interest, a profit motive here to advocate this as a business line?
Yeah, money, of course, is the primary driver. This ideology would never spread without money behind it. So there's a few components to this. Of course, the pharmaceutical industry is making money. They're not the biggest promoters of this, though. The biggest promoters of this, though, are the nonprofit organizations, the LGBTQ organizations, which we should just call them TQ organizations these days. Because when gay rights were won, you know, around the first decade of this century, all these organizations that had that as their goal, they don't just shut the doors and close up shop now that they've achieved their objectives. They got to keep the money flowing. They got to keep the donations flowing. They got to keep the people employed. And so their next target became trans rights. And people conflate these two things, trans rights and gay rights, and we never should because they're totally different. And what's going on today is we have all these nonprofits spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's being pushed by the government as well. The government's funding a lot of this. And they're putting this ideology into schools. They're teaching children that they might be born in the wrong body. What an abusive thing to say. Can you imagine telling a child that there might be something wrong with them? That they were born in the wrong body? My word, it's insane. And then these kids come out as trans and they get celebrated because we're also pushing that into schools. We're pushing that we need to celebrate all of this. And so that feels great for these kids. You have these kids who aren't fitting in who are now getting love bombed. So they're getting the positive endorphins. And this is really a giant cult. I can't say it enough. We're essentially teaching children that they have a gendered soul. That's what gender identity is. It's teaching these kids that there's this gender identity somewhere that doesn't coincide with their sex. How can you be born in the wrong body? That's a spiritual belief, saying that you're in a body that's wrong and that you have a gendered soul. So that is essentially what they're teaching. And these kids, when they come out as trans, they get celebrated like they do in any cult. They get love bombed. And then the second any of them detransition, or when they stop declaring that they are trans, they get totally rejected by their former loving community. You have girls who have had their breasts cut off, who have a beard, who have a deep voice, who have suffered sterilization, went through all of that, and then 5, 6, 7 years later, they decide to detransition as much as they can because they've suffered irreversible harm, and they declare that they're female again. Do these people then celebrate them for finding their true self? Not one bit. They say, oh, you were never really trans. You were a fake. You were a fraud. And they cut them off because these people don't want you to find your true self. They want you to be trans. This is a crazy cult that has permeated all of society. And if parents don't get up to speed, next thing you know, your kid's going to be coming home from school, and the school will have been socially transitioning your child for the last 3 months, giving them a new name and pronoun without telling you, because that's another thing going on. Parental rights are being destroyed. You have all of these school districts who think that they're the child's real guardian, and they will actively hide it. It's their written policy not to tell the parent if the child decides to identify as the opposite sex. What did we say about people when we grew up that wanted you to hide things from your parents? What, there's a word for those people, Andrew. Do you know what it is? Groomer.
Well, yeah. Right.
These are groomers. They're grooming our kids. And James Lindsay, I don't know if you know who James Lindsay is, Conceptual James on Twitter. He's, you know, one of the world's leading experts on all of these crazy critical theories, ideologies, you know, critical race theory, gender ideology, all that stuff. He's an expert. He just got permanently banned from Twitter today for commenting to a Harvard law professor who is a man who identifies as a woman. Called him a child sexualization expert. So Twitter has permanently banned James Lindsay. That's a huge loss for that platform. He had about 320,000 followers. And he was helping, you know, other people out as well, retweet my stuff and other people's stuff. I met him a few weeks ago at this conference down in Tampa. He's a super nice guy, super helpful, and ridiculously smart. And now Twitter's lost him as well. So I've been using the word groomer for a while, not as much as him, but he's popularized it recently. And Twitter is just shooting themselves in the foot because they don't want people using that word. Reddit has banned the word. But when they suspend people like James Lindsay, they're just going to make it get used more than ever, because the sensible people among us are not going to stop talking about the grooming that is going on in our society, because there's no better word for it.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, grooming, the traditional meaning of grooming is precisely to indoctrinate for any sort of issues. I mean, it's used in all sorts of contexts, like, a documentary on Frontline here in the United States about, the Saudi royal family. I remember just recently came out about maybe 6 months ago, talked about how the Saudi king was grooming his crown prince to, take over leadership in the Saudi kingdom. So, this is indeed indoctrination. So, very horrendous indoctrination, as you've indicated. Well, talking about this insanity, you say that there's a difference between the United States and Canada, and that there's more opposition in the United States than Canada. Why is that? What's the difference between the two countries?
Canada. It's way worse than Canada.
There's more opposition.
Canada's the worst in the world.
Yeah, right. What is the difference between the two countries, and what do you see?
Okay, so we have this guy called Justin Trudeau as prime minister for the last 7 years. If you gave AOC the reins of the United States of America for the next 7 years, this is what you'd pretty much get, because there's not much difference between them. He is a radical leftist. He loves this queer theory nonsense. And we don't have much opposition. Our conservative opposition here is completely weak. These people are cowards. Every single conservative, not one conservative politician, I say conservative with quote marks around it because they're not conservative, they're fake. Not one of them will speak up against this child abuse. The leader of the Conservative Party last year, he's not the leader now. They're actually having a leadership race right now. But his name was Aaron O'Toole. And just like Scott Wiener lived up to his name, Aaron O'Toole lived up to his name and was a total tool when I ran into him on the street, because he couldn't even face me. He was coming back from lunch, and I was stood outside Parliament right in front of the door to the House of Commons where they all go. And he hit the button across the crosswalk. He looked up and he saw me with a sign that children cannot consent to puberty blockers. And Aaron O'Toole, instead of just walking by me across the crosswalk to get to the only entrance into the building, turned left in 95-degree temperatures, and he walked 400 yards out of his way. He walked to the next street down, crossed the crosswalk there, and then doubled back to where he already was, up this ramp, to try to avoid me. It didn't work, of course, because I just walked along the other side of the street and met him at the next crosswalk. But think about that for a second. You've got the conservative leader of Canada trying to avoid a dad who travels the country speaking out against child abuse, speaking out against the sterilization and maiming of our children. And the conservative leader of Canada can't even confront me. And I'm a reasonable guy. I'm not out there yelling. I'm not a crazy person. I'm a soft-spoken guy just having normal conversations with people who want to have them. But he pushed through this bill as well. It was a bill called Bill C-6 that turned into Bill C-4, and it's a conversion therapy bill. So it's now considered conversion therapy in Canada, and all of our conservatives went along with this unanimously. It's considered conversion therapy to help a girl feel comfortable as a girl or a boy to feel comfortable as a boy. It's totally fine to indoctrinate a girl to believe she's a boy. That's not conversion therapy, according to the law. I mean, it actually is, but not according to the law. But now a parent can go to jail for 2 years, 5 years. A parent can go to jail for 5 years and get up to a $2 million fine for committing so-called conversion therapy, which is just helping their child to feel comfortable with their sex. This is how insane things have gotten up here. And you have counselors who won't even talk to these kids, because counselors can be charged as well with conversion therapy, just for talking a child through this to help them become comfortable with their sex. The bill says there's not a favorable option for these kids that identify as transgender. Well, of course there's a favorable option. The favorable option is not destroying their sexual function, not sterilizing them, and not cutting off body parts. This shouldn't be controversial, but somehow this has become hate speech in Canada. So in the U.S., it's way better because you have conservative media speaking out about this. You have all the red states who are starting to speak out against this and pass legislation against this. Alabama's passed legislation. Arkansas's passed legislation. Florida's doing a ton of great things. And so they are pushing back. But up here, They just plug their ears and shout la, 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 because they don't want to hear the truth. They're all trans activists essentially running our government.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess this T in the LGBT movement, maybe it doesn't just stand for transgenderism, but rather it stands for totalitarian. I mean, this is really scary what you're discussing here, just stating the facts of life. You know, we opened with the song from Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders about a man and a woman, but just stating that, I guess, would you know, be considered hate speech now. And you've got to all be like our recent Supreme Court justice who just joined the court, Jackson, Justice Jackson, who, you know, in her confirmation hearing said, you know, I'm not a biologist, and so therefore she couldn't answer the question of, you know, what is a woman? Well, I guess closing out, you talk about Ron DeSantis in Florida. What sort of political leaders do you see standing up to this, and what sort of tactics should they emulate?
Common sense. Ron DeSantis is just common sense. He's the parents' governor. Look, it's not controversial that we shouldn't be having porn in school books, but we do. There's this book called Genderqueer that's in school districts all across the nation that shows a kid giving a blowjob. It's got child porn in it. It's not controversial that we should be getting rid of that. It's not controversial that we shouldn't be sexualizing kids. It's not controversial that we shouldn't be teaching kindergartners that they might be born in the wrong body. So he's just common sense, man. That's all it is. But common sense is apparently controversial today. We just need to get back to common sense. We need to tell the truth. And we need to not worry about what these people on the left say about us. I've been called every terrible thing in the book. I've had all sorts of hit pieces written about me. I could spend all of my days suing people and organizations. But that's a waste of my time. Plus, I don't have the money for it. But you just have to stand up and you have to say, I don't care if they call me a bigot. I don't care if they call me a transphobe. Quite honestly, to be called a transphobe today is a compliment. It means you acknowledge reality. It means you're not a coward. So go ahead. Call me whatever you want. Call me a Nazi. Call me whatever. I don't care. I'm going to keep going out there and I'm going to keep spreading the word to protect these kids because this is too crazy to last. And we are going to win. So I've talked about a lot of crazy stuff today, maybe a lot of disheartening things. But to give people hope, we are going to win this battle. We don't have all the hundreds of millions or billions of dollars that these pharmaceutical industries or these activist organizations spend to push this propaganda. They have to spend that much money to get this into society because that's the only way they can succeed. But we have the truth on our side, and we have parents on our side. And the more people who learn what's going on, the outrage is going to continue to grow. And it's already gotten to a point where it's unstoppable. Compared to 2 years ago, it is night and day how many people know what's going on. And that knowledge is just going to keep continuing to grow. And like we've seen in Sweden and Finland and now happening in England, we are going to put an end to this child abuse. It's simply a question of how fast we do it and how many kids come to harm before we get it done. So we're going to win. And if people want to support me in my travels, I could really use it because I travel around the U.S., going to events, doing public speaking, going out on the street, being seen by hundreds of thousands in my signs, and I'm not going to stop until the child abuse is done. But you can go to my website, billboardchris.com, click on the donate button. I would really appreciate your help because, unfortunately, I need it right now. Hopefully, one day I won't.
Yeah, that is a key issue of money, and you know, this is really a grassroots movement from people like you at billboardchris.com standing up against. Well, do you see then, you know, we've had people at school board meetings here in the United States that become a real particular battleground. Is that starting to happen in Canada as well?
No, we don't even have physical school board meetings anymore. This is, like, it's just insane what's going on in Canada. You can't go to a school board meeting. They're all virtual. And you can't ask a question about this at a school board meeting. I'm not joking. A teacher in Ontario last year started to comment about this passage in a book in the school where they were glorifying sterilization of kids and glorifying puberty blockers. She just started to ask the question. She's very reasonable, but a nice, calm manner about her. And the chair of the school board shut her down, saying she was violating the Ontario Human Rights Act. And she's been suspended as a teacher. So Canada's lost. That's why I go to the U.S. We need to fix the U.S. When the U.S. fixes things, that'll bleed across the border and we'll eventually get it fixed here. But Canada right now, I've done everything I can up here. I still do things up here all the time to create awareness so that parents can protect their own kids. But when it comes to legislation and policy, things like that, we're a lost cause at the moment. So I'm going to keep traveling to the West.
All right, very interesting. Yeah, so I guess in the United States, as it's been said before in terms of free speech issues, a colleague of mine, Deborah Weiss, who's dealt with free speech issues, in particular involving issues of Islam, has talked about the United States as a last bastion of free speech. And I think we'll close out on there, a very worrying tone, and tell our listeners to follow up with Bill Board Chris and really get involved with him in confronting this totalitarian, dangerous ideology. And we've been listening here then to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday with your show host, Andrew Herod, a weekly blog talk radio show where we like to talk about important issues of the day. And we've been talking with Chris Elston, Billboard Chris, about radical gender ideology. Well, Chris, thank you for joining the show. It's been most delightful.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been my pleasure. Hope to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
All right, for our listeners out there, tune in next week for another episode of Conservative Casual Friday.